so thankful for all of the gifted sowers that God has brought to be a part of Revive Church fam. Man, we are just scratching the surface of all the awesome and amazing people that are here at the Vine Church. So I just want to say thank you to each and every sower that's part of Revive Church fam. And secondly, hey, maybe you just joined us digitally and you've never got to hang out with us in person. I want to tell you there's an awesome and amazing family here at the Vine Church that I would love for you to meet. So make plans to come hang out with us when we get through this season of physically distancing. You know, right now, the times that we live in, uncertainty is everywhere. And uncertainty is nothing that's actually new. If we look back over life or look throughout all of time, uncertainty is something that's been around a while. But I do want to tell you that even though times are uncertain, I want to remind you that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is absolutely certain. And no matter what's going on in the world that we live in, He still got the whole world in His hands. And so I want to tell you today, we're going to be diving in and finishing up our series as we talk about this idea in His hands. So if it's your first time hanging out with us, before we dive in any further, we like to get to connect together to start off the message, because I want to tell you, this Vine Church family knows I need a lot of help. So to help me out from the beginning, I want to invite you to play a game that we like to play. And what I'm going to do is, you're going to see in the comments on the side or the bottom of the screen, whatever you're watching, you're going to see some folks giving some fist bumps and some high fives. Here's how you can play the game. When you see a high five, reply back with a high five. When you see a fist bump, reply back for a fist bump. You know how to play the game. I'm going to count to three. Let's each and every one of us give some high fives and some fist bumps. Here we go. One, two, three. Here's some high fives for us today. Maybe you're not a high five person, but you like to give some fist bumps. There's some fist bumps. Come on now. Reply back to everyone. Give some high fives and fist bumps today. Come on, let's connect together all the way through. Isn't it nice to have just a little bit of connection? I want to let you know, hey, maybe you replied back to somebody and you don't think it's a big deal. I want you to know that that might be the only reply that anyone got back all week, and your fist bump or high five made a complete difference in their day. So thank you for playing along. Not only are we going to be connecting with some high fives and some fist bumps, I want us to get to know each other a little bit better. So will you keep playing this game with me? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask three questions, and each and every one of us, I'm going to ask you to respond to them in the comments, okay? So, we're at church. I'm just saying, it's still church. Just putting it out there. So I want to ask you to reply back to these three questions, okay? So here we go. Let's play and get to know each other a little bit better right now. Number one. What is the craziest cartoon character that you, I guess, know or that you've ever watched? What's the craziest cartoon character for you? What is the craziest cartoon character? Go ahead and put it in the comments. I can't wait to read them. It's awesome. What's the craziest cartoon character? Now, I'm going to go classic, so I'm going to give you two of them, okay? Classically, the craziest cartoon character to me was the Tasmanian Devil. Dude was everywhere, wasn't he? Like, Tasmanian Devil, absolutely crazy. Big fan of him, but absolutely crazy. Now, growing up, the craziest cartoon character to me were the Animaniacs. I could give some other examples. We're at church. But the Animaniacs, really, were some crazy cartoon characters to me. I can't wait to read yours. Okay, here we go. Question number two. What's the craziest TV show that you've ever watched? We're at church, but just... What's the craziest TV show you've ever watched? I can't wait to read these. You're going to be great. Okay. The craziest TV show you've ever... So for me, growing up, the craziest one was The X-Files. Absolutely crazy. Twists, turns, weirdness. X-Files definitely was weird to me. Even though it could be enjoyable, it was just weird to me. As I got older, one that gave me a chuckle was Mystery Science Theater. It is what it is. Just weird stuff. That's funny. But also like Doctor Who. It's a crazy show, twists and turns, but great show. And one that's no longer out, Houdini and Doyle, kind of a crazy show. Two of different characters, just putting it out there. You ever want to watch those? Funny shows, at least to me. But crazy TV shows. So there we go. Can't wait to read the comments. Now you know it builds up to the last question, always. Here we go. Question number three. Can't wait to read this one. What's the craziest food you have ever ate? I'm laughing uncontrollably at this. I can't wait. What's the craziest food that you've ever ate? Now, the reason I got this big smile on is I know that Alex and Brittany Hamby, if they're watching, they know what I'm about to answer. And so I want to tell you, I can't wait to read your comments, but the craziest food that I've ever ate. Now, this was pre-gallbladder removal, so I want to put that out there. But the craziest food that I ever ate, I was on a mission trip, and it was called chicken mafi. Now, I might have spelled it incorrectly. Don't get mad at me, but it's a West African dish. And to explain it to you, it's basically a rice meat. And imagine you've got peanut butter, and you melted it on the stove, and you put some vegetables in it. And when it got to like a creaminess, you poured it over this chicken and rice and vegetables. Now, that may sound absolutely delectable to you. I just threw up a little bit in my mouth thinking about it. Like, mafi, it was different. And if you eat that, praise Jesus, you're alive and you eat it and you enjoy it. It just wasn't something that was right for me. But I want to tell you today, if that's you, that's the craziest thing I've ever eaten. And maybe you've got something crazier. I can't wait to read that today. But the reason that we're talking about crazy things is it's a crazy idea for many of us that God still has the whole world in his hands. Like, we look at that, our hands, and unless you watch Men in Black and you saw that galaxies were like marbles, like to think even right now, to conceptualize that God has the whole world in his hands can seem somewhat crazy. And so when I look up crazy and I look up a definition of crazy, if you were to ever Google it right now, you could see that crazy means mentally deranged or especially mentally deranged and manifested in a wild or aggressive way. A wild or aggressive way. So basically, crazy could mean a straitjacket paddy wagon. I mean, I'm just being real. That's what we would think crazy would mean. But another definition that we're going to be focusing more on today, and it might have been how you answered those craziest questions a second ago, is crazy can mean appearing absurdly out of place or in an unlikely position. Appearing absurdly out of place or in an unlikely position. Now, depending on your view of crazy, is you either had fun with crazy when it came to those questions, or you went crazy with crazy when it came to those questions. So the crazy question that we're going to answer today, really, more than anything, is this. What is God calling you to say yes to today? What is God calling you to say yes to today? What is God calling you to say yes to today? Because here's the thing that I want to tell you. Hearing that, there are three groups of people that hear that. The first person, and I'm so thankful you're here, you saying, Tyler, you crazy. You just saying I'm crazy. Crazy to think that God would hold the whole world in his hands. Like, that's just an impossible thing. It doesn't make sense to you. So why in the world would I say a crazy statement like that? And I want to tell you, I'm thankful you're here. There's something for you today. Hang in here with me to the end. I promise you, you'll leave here better than how you walked in. Now, the second person says, I'm willing to say yes to God and do anything he calls me to do, no matter what that is. If that means eating mafi in the middle of a populated city or in the sub-Saharan African desert, no matter what that looks like, I would do that all day long. Whatever that looks like, I would say yes to Jesus all the time. I'm thankful for people like you in my life because you are a picture of what Jesus looks like. And I want to tell you today, there's something for you today. Hang in here all the way to the end for this as well. And I promise you, you're going to leave here better than how you walked in. And now the third person, to be quite honest with you, even as a pastor, you might not expect me to say this. I identify with more than person one or two. And that's the person right now that God has called you to something. And just when I ask that question, you had this pit in your stomach well up. Your heart felt like it was beating out of your chest. The anxiety started to kick in. When I said, what is God calling you to say yes to today? I mean, as a matter of fact, you're struggling right now to figure out, do you want to click the X and close this out? Or you have this fighting urge, though, even though you want to leave, you have to stay in because you know today God is calling you to say yes to something. Something really crazy in your mind. And you're struggling through it. And I'll tell you, this is why I identify with this person. I want to promise you today that you're going to leave here better than how you came in. And there's something for you today. And I want to tell you how I connect with you more than ever. So many times when God calls me to take crazy steps, and when God asks me that crazy question to say yes to what he's calling me to, I can tell you, I struggle with it, not just because of anxiety, but because I want it to fit in my parameters. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, hey, God, yeah, I'll go anywhere you call me to as long as it stays within this zip code. You know what I'm saying? Or, hey, God, I'll do anything you want me to as long as it's within this income level or salary level, right? As long as I can have this. Hey, God, I'll do this as long as I can have this car or this out. Like so many, I can tell you, I connect with you. You are my people if you're in three, because I've struggled with that in my life and in my faith journey and in this walk that Jesus has me on. And I'm telling you today, I believe you're going to be encouraged today if this is you. So each and every one of us are going to be able to answer this question today. What is God calling you to say yes to as we wrap up our series with In His Hands? In His Hands. So if you got your Bible today, go ahead and flip to Matthew 14, okay? I've got it marked in mind, but I'm going to get one place before that, okay? Go ahead and get to Matthew 14. We're going to be in a familiar story as we unpack that question about what God's called us to say yes to today. Maybe you don't have a Bible, but you're watching this online right now. I'm so thankful for our Vine production team. They're going to make sure that everything is on the screen that you need to follow along today. Maybe you would like a free Bible. I want to tell you, we'd love to send you one, or we'd love to give you one in person. Let us know at hello@thevine.tv. But maybe, just maybe, in the digital age we live in, you like to do things digitally. And I'm so thankful for you today. I want to show you how you can follow along with us today through our friends at the Bible app. So the first thing you need to do is download the Bible app from the App Store. Now, once you download the Bible app, you're going to go ahead and open it up. And once you open up the Bible app, click on the More tab. Once you click on the More tab, make sure you click on Events and that your location services are on. Now, once you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see the title of today's message, In His Hands. You're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through. You're going to see a place for you to take notes, but once again, a place where we can connect with each other throughout the week, if there's any way that we can serve you or pray for you. So if you got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to Matthew 14. But before we get there, I want us to start. We're going to start with this verse and end with this verse. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 41:10 says this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous, what? Right hand. Right hand. What I want to tell you today is right now, whatever that step God's called you to take today, you're not going to walk through it alone. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be discouraged, that he is going to strengthen you and help you. And I want you to know today that that step may seem crazy, but I want to tell you, what seems crazy today looks like faith tomorrow. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When I look back at all the crazy next steps God's called me to take, as next steps of faith he's called me to take, they absolutely seem like they were absolutely absurdly crazy at the time. But when I look back on my life and I look back at those steps of faith, they literally are steps of faith, even though they seemed a little crazy. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about, is this crazy thing, as we're in his hands, this crazy thing called faith. So if you've got your Bible, you're already there. Matthew 14, let me get my Bible there. Matthew 14, we're going to see this thing, faith, played out in a story that's familiar. So if you're taking notes today, I want to start us off by saying this. Faith always starts with yes. Faith always starts with yes. Faith always starts with yes. And we're going to see that in this familiar story today. So Matthew 14 and verse 22 says this. Now circle this. Anytime you see this in the Bible, circle this right here as it kicks off. Immediately, not at some point, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Now, the crowd that Jesus dismissed is the crowd of 5,000 he just fed. Now, it's actually more than 5,000. It was 5,000 men, and we know there were women and children there that weren't counted. So Jesus just fed all these people, and he sends the disciples after he dismisses the crowd. He sends them off. Now, this is what he does. After he had dismissed them, that is the disciples, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Now, the disciples are off on the boat. They're on the way to Bethsaida. They're going over the lake there on the way to Bethsaida. And as they're doing that, Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray, okay? And so the boat is a considerable distance from the land and is buffeted by waves because the wind is against it. In other words, there's a squall. Now, it's not the furious squall we talked about a couple weeks ago, but there is a little storm which is known to happen here on the lake. So what ends up happening is I feel like many of us may feel like the disciples here in this moment. We've been in this mountaintop experience with Jesus where we've just seen him feed 5,000 people with some bread and two fish, five loaves of bread and two fish, right? Like, it's just crazy that he's done that. And then he sends them off. And in this season that we're in, we can feel like we're furiously going into a storm and Jesus is nowhere to be found. Because the disciples are on this lake and Jesus is off somewhere praying. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Are you crazy? He's walking on the lake. Like, how crazy insane is that? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Like, I imagine if I was the disciples, they've seen some things as fishermen and tax collectors, some things that are probably crazy. So I imagine this storm has kind of kept them up all night. They're a little sleepy. They're a little hazy. And they look out on the ocean as the day is breaking, and they see what looks like a figure like walking on water. You know, they rub their eyes. I know we can't touch our face, so I didn't do it, I promise you, in this season. But they rub their eyes a little bit, adjust, you know, their spectacles. Like, they get there and they look and they're like, do you see? Does something crazy look like it's going on out there? Is that Jesus? Like, how crazy is that? That can't be Jesus. That's got to be a ghost. Like, what in the world is that? That looks like a ghost walking on the water. And they cried out in fear, as many of us absolutely would. But Jesus immediately circled that, take note of that. I love how this pops up in this story. Immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. Now, how crazy does that sound? Jesus is walking on water, and then Peter comes out of the boat and walks on water. Now, if you know anything about me, I probably many people would say as a Christian, I'm very much like Peter. I'm thick-skulled. I'm hard-headed, if you will. I'm stubborn. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you all I got. And I'll put it all out on the table. It is what it is. Like, that's who I am. And when I look at Peter in this moment, that's where he is. He is looking out and he saw Jesus walking on water. And he understands that faith always starts with a yes. And he says, hey, Jesus, if that is you, call me out there. And I want to go be where you are. And so Peter steps out of the boat and he goes to be where Jesus is. So not only does faith always start with a yes. So Peter started out with a yes. I want you to know that faith puts courage before comfort. Faith puts courage before comfort. What I'm trying to say is in this moment, all those disciples, even though the storm was happening, even though it wasn't the great storm where Jesus said, quiet, be still happening, the disciples were in this moment and they were comfortable in the boat. They were afraid to go out because they thought they saw a ghost. But instead, Peter says, hey, faith starts with a yes. And I'm willing to step out and courageously in faith, go to where Jesus is because I know I'm more safe where Jesus is, even if it's standing, walking on the water, than I am on that boat that could sink at any minute. And so Peter goes out and he steps out and he shows us and models us that faith puts courage over comfort. You see, right now, I can tell you, I identify with that third person, and I struggle when I said, what is Jesus calling you to say yes to today? Because, you see, it makes me get uncomfortable. Faith will make me get uncomfortable. And the reason that I can struggle there, it may be the reason and the excuse that I've heard many times as a pastor, but many times in the church, and one that I've uttered many times in my life, and it's this. So hear me out. I'm not downgrading you. I just want to say this, and I want us to get over this hump if it's an excuse in our life, okay? Many times we won't take the step of faith we have because we'll say this. Well, I just don't have peace about it. Now listen. I can tell you there are moments that the Holy Spirit will leave us unsettled about a decision. Absolutely. Here's the issue with constantly giving the answer, but I don't have peace about it. And this is what Jesus had to teach me, so I want to teach it to you because I'm that third person. Remember, what's God calling you to? That anxiety creeped in. The reason I would say, well, I just don't have peace about it is this. I expected peace to come before the obedient next step God called me to take. But instead, Jesus was trying to tell me as he's showing Peter in this moment, and he's about to show the disciples, and he's showing us that peace doesn't come before obedience, that peace only comes through obedience. So in your life right now, instead of worried about whether you have peace about the decision, I wonder if God's calling you to just take the step of faith so that you can really fully experience the peace. Because the obedience will bring the peace. The peace don't bring the obedience. Do you see what I'm saying? I hope you are. And I hope that gave you an amen, because Jesus had to teach me that. And this thick skull, it took over 30 years for this thick skull to learn that. But finally, he's ingrained it in me so that I understand that the peace that I will experience in him will call me out on the water where he is. And only through obedience can I experience that peace. And so right now, I want you to know that wherever you are, what faith would look like when faith puts courage before comfort is, it would be saying, I don't know where you're calling me, Jesus, but I'll go. You see, Peter's story is a great example here when stepping out of that boat can look like for all of us, because I believe that many of us are stepping out of a boat right now. We're stepping out of a season that is 2020 that we didn't even know would look like. As a matter of fact, we thought stepping into the 2020 season happened on January 1st. But realistically, when this coronavirus hit us and this season that we're in of physically distancing, this season looks completely different than any of us prepared for, but it's exactly the one that Jesus prepared us to walk through. And so as we step out of that boat right now, maybe the season that you're stepping in isn't a geographical location. Maybe the yes that God's calling you to isn't a change of address. It's actually a change of season. And he's saying, hey, stop staying comfortable in the 2020 you think that should exist, and instead step out in the 2020 that I'm calling you out in, because if you'll have faith in me and you'll say yes, you'll experience the peace that comes from faith, understanding that courage goes before comfort. When I look in the Bible, I see all the characters of the Bible. I can see that they stepped out in faith. When you look in the Bible all the way through, I look back to Noah. Man, oh man, can you imagine Noah building a boat in his front yard? He's never seen rain. God tells him your entire family is going to go in that boat. Two of every unclean animal, seven pairs, 14, Bible trivia, seven pairs of every clean animal are going to go in this boat. And even though you've never seen rain, I'm going to flood the entire earth, but I'm going to spare you. Can you imagine the faith it took to do that when you've never seen rain? As a matter of fact, not only that, think of Abraham. He's known as Abram. He's 75 years old. God says, hey, I need you to not only pitch your tent in your family's land anymore, I need you to go out to the place I'm calling to. And when you do that, I'm going to bless your ancestors. Now, this is Abraham, who's married to his wife, Sarah, who has no children. And God says, I promise you, you're going to have children, but you just got to step out in faith to do it. When I look back at that, not only Abraham, I look at Moses. Moses was a Hebrew baby that should have died, but instead he was floated down the Nile River, shows up on Pharaoh's doorstep. And instead of staying in comfort and luxury in Egypt, staying in Pharaoh's house, he instead leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt because God chose him and appointed him to step out in faith. But it don't stop there. I think of Elijah on Mount Carmel, where he said, and he took all the prophets of Baal, and he said, you dance to Baal, and if he answers you before my God answers you, then Baal is the real God and my God's the real God. But it didn't stop there. God called him to dig a trench, fill it with water, and then fill it again, and then fill it again. And then he lapped up the sacrifice that was there with fire. And I look at Elijah when that happened. I look at the faith that it took to do that. But Elisha, the faith, when God said, hey, I know it ain't rained in 3 years, Elijah, but if you'll trust me and you pray for rain, I'll send a cloud that's as big as a man's hand. And even though it seems small to the world, little as much, and God is in it, and I'll send that cloud and it'll rain on this land. And the faith that it took for Elisha to do that. Not only that, you think all the way through all of the Old Testament Testament prophets, when we go all the way to Mary in the New Testament, the mother of Jesus, who is a pregnant 12 to 14 year old girl who's betrothed to her husband, engaged to be married, but swears to the world she's a virgin, but she's pregnant with a baby, and yet she still takes the faith and courage to walk through with the next step that God calls her to because she was called out of comfort. What she was facing in that time is because she was a teenager, the world couldn't believe that there was any way that her and Joseph didn't conceive Jesus. There was no way that it could have been of the Holy Spirit while she was pregnant, right? When she did that, what ended up happening is she put herself in a place to where she would be poor and destitute her entire life, ridiculed. As a matter of fact, the zealots at the time would want her to be stoned because she was seen as an adulteress to them. Yet God worked through the faith that she said when she said, God, I am your servant. I'm in your hands, to lead literally to Jesus's birth and salvation for all of us. All the way through, when I look at the disciples that are in this boat, they're fishermen and tax collectors. And Jesus said, come follow me. And they had the courage to step out in faith, not stay in comfort. And so today, wherever you are, I just want to remind you, whatever the thing is God's called you to say yes to today, I want you to know that faith is calling you to step out in courage from comfort. How does Matthew 14 go on? Well, this is the familiar ridicule we give Peter, but more on that in a moment. Verse 30. But when he saw the Lord, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, I want you to circle this next word because it's so important. Verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he said, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? You see, I want you to see that Jesus immediately lifted up Peter and he's trying to teach him a lesson here. He's trying to show him right now, like Jesus is saying, hey, if you knew how good the Father is, how able he is, how much God the Father is in control and how much he loves you and what he sent Jesus to come do, he would say, Peter, if you would just trust that, if you would have just believed that, you had all the confidence when you stepped out of the boat, but instead you got caught in the chaos and the wind and the waves. And I see that so many times in my Christian walk and your walk in following Jesus. You may be there too, where you take step after faith and step of faith and you get to about step four of faith and all of a sudden everything around you seems like it's crashing down. And instead of focusing on Jesus, you focus on what's crashing down. And I want to tell you today, focus on Jesus. Because even when you fall down, you're not going to slip through his hand. Immediately, he lifted Peter up. He's telling him, why did you doubt? Because he wants to say, hey, if you would have just trusted me, you could have walked on water as long as you wanted with me on it. And I'm telling you, that's a pretty crazy, awesome thing, right? Verse 32. And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the chaos and the noise, as we talked about, he's still, just a reminder of week one, if you missed it, I want you to know when Jesus stepped in the boat, peace stepped in the boat, and I want you to know, no matter what you're going through in the chaos of the season and the storms that you're walking through, he's still in your boat, and he's still in control because he's still got the whole world in his hands. No matter what he's called you to, I want you to know he's calling and asking you to step out in faith and trust him. As a matter of fact, when I look at Peter, he gets such a bad rap for this story. People always talk about, well, if Peter just had faith. And when I look at that story, I want to tell you, I'm hard-headed, and maybe I connect because I'm as hard-headed as Peter is. I want to tell you at this moment in time, when I look in that story, I see 11 disciples who stayed in comfort and one disciple who decided to step out in faith. And even though we fell down and even though Jesus taught him about faith in the moment, they ain't, rest of them couldn't say they walked on water, but Peter could. Why? Because he understood that faith puts courage before comfort. Not only does faith put courage before comfort, faith always starts with yes, but number three, if you're taking notes today, faith connects you to the right people. Faith connects you to the right people. I want you to know that faith connects you to the right people. As a matter of fact, do you look at that story and do you not think that Jesus already knew that Peter was gonna fall? He already knew exactly the spot where Peter was gonna lose faith, so much so he was right there in the moment to lift him up so that even though he was sinking, he was not overwhelmed. I want you to know wherever you are, that next step that God's called you to, that He's calling you to say yes to today, He's already gone before you and He's there waiting for you. You may be afraid and you may be living in fear, just like the disciples were on that boat, thinking you can't take that next step and it's paralyzing you. And I want you to step out and have the courage to step out in faith today, because God's already there waiting for you. And if you fall down, you're not going to slip through His hand. We started out there in Isaiah. You won't. I'm telling you right now, He will not let you fall. And so when you step out in faith, I want to let you know it always connects you to the right people. Now, faith the right way, faith in Christ is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, some of the biggest, steps of faith maybe many of us could take today is this, is just reaching out and connecting with someone. You never know what that text message that says, "I'm praying for you today. Is there any way I can help you today?" means to so many people. I can tell you right now, as a single guy, I try to send those texts out as much as I can, but receiving those texts are just amazing. To know that someone's praying for you, I'm telling you right now, no matter where you are in the world, if you want to impact somebody and connect with them today, let them know you're praying for them. And I'm telling, and really do it. And watch what that does. I'm telling you, it's just like those fist bumps at the beginning. It will completely change how that person is walking through their day. And so today, not only does faith start with a yes, faith put courage before comfort. Faith will connect us to the right people. I want you to see what Jesus promises us when it comes to stepping out in faith. And so if you've got your Bible, we're going to flip a couple chapters over to the Gospel of John. And Jesus is talking about us who believe that he is who He says He is. And He's telling us about us here in John 10, verse 28 to 30. And it says this: "I gave them eternal life, that they shall never perish." Pay attention to this. "No one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Now, many of us right now, when it comes to taking a next step of faith, I can tell you we struggle. And the reason that we struggle is because of how we view God. And many of us view God through the lens of religion, and we think that God is out to get us. We think that God is out to get us, so much so it paralyzes us in taking a next step. And we live a life of fear like those disciples on the boat who didn't get to experience peace until Jesus came back on the boat with Peter, as opposed to experiencing peace like Peter did from the beginning to walk on water, at least for a moment. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is, if you're looking through the lens of religion, I want to let you know this truth today. God is not good because He does good. God does good because He is good. Now, that's a ton of theology to unpack, but I want to be real with you. So hear me out, because I'm going to mean what I say and say what I mean. God is not good because He does good. God does good because He is good. This is what I'm trying to tell you today. God is not out trying to get you. As a matter of fact, when we live like that, it's kind of like a parent with a child who's learning how to walk. Have you ever just seen that? How much joy that brings. Like, the child pulls up and everyone's so excited. And when the baby takes that first step, what the parent doesn't understand is that's the last moment of freedom, because they're off like lightning after that, aren't they? But when we think God is out to get us, it would be like that parent with a child when that baby takes that first step and they're waddling up, taking that first step. What ends up happening inevitably is after step two or three, bop, either on their bottom or they fall face first, like they fall down. If God was out to get us and He was trying to get angry with us and frustrated with us at the steps we don't take, it would be like a parent when a child takes those two steps when they just learned to walk and the baby falls down. And the parent looks at the baby and says, "That's it, I'm done. You're a failure. I don't want anything to do with you the rest of your life. You are worthless. You mean nothing to me." When we don't look at God through the, when we look at God through the lens of religion, that's what we think, is we are that child that God has left abandoned. Because every other religion in the world will tell you, in order to get to God, you have to be good. But what I want you to know today, and this is good news, my friend, is God created you to be good. The only thing standing in the way of that is the sin that all of us are born into. And we can only receive the free gift of salvation when we cry out, We cry out like Peter did, Lord, save me. When we receive the free gift of salvation and believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then we can be the good that he created us to be. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is Jesus came so that we could believe that he is who he says he is, receive the free gift of salvation, that he came to this earth, lived the perfect sinless life that we couldn't live, died the death we deserved for our sins on the cross, but loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that we could have life and have it to the full, so that we could be who he created us to be. And so today, wherever you are, I want you to see, stop looking at the world through the lens of religion, but instead look at the Lord through the lens of God's goodness. Look at the Lord through the lens of goodness. He is good. He is inherently good. Now, he is righteous, but he is good. And what I want you to know today is maybe you're stuck in taking that step of faith because you're so afraid. Don't be afraid. He promises us that we will not fall through his hands. You know, when I think about falling through his hands, I think about, if you know anything about me growing up, I was a water bug. I liked being outside, even though I sunburned very easily. I think that's probably why I don't like being outside much now. But I was a water bug. I love being in the pool. And it started making me think, not only when we talk about God not letting us go, do we think about a child that's taking their first steps and walking, but I think about that one time at the pool. We all remember it, if you've ever learned to swim, where you get to the edge of the pool and you see it all the time. If you go on vacation, when we get through this mess, or you look back on past vacations, you can see if you've been at a place with a pool, there's usually a kid. They've got their swim trunks on and their life raft and their 17 life vest on and whatever else they're wearing. And they're standing on the edge of the pool and they're not taking the steps in, or mom or dad or whatever family member, sissy or brother, they're not holding them, bringing them in the pool. They're standing on the edge, and you always see one of the parents like this. And what are they saying? Jump. And usually you'll see the child is there just, they're crying, they're angry, they're stomping mad. They don't want to jump. There's no way this is fun. Why would you be so mean and call me to jump into this big old bathtub of water? Why would you do that? But then all of a sudden there comes a moment where the courage kicks in and they finally say yes, and they see that they can connect with the right person, and they finally have that trust, and they jump, and they jump into that family member's arms, and all of a sudden that cry turns to a cackle, and all of a sudden what's the next thing that child says? I want to do it again, and I want to do it again, and I want to do it again. And I want to do it again. And they just want to keep doing it again and again. And they love jumping into that family member's arms. What I want to tell you today is we have a Heavenly Father that's sitting there waiting in the pool, waiting in an ocean of grace that's calling us to step out in faith. And he's saying, will you just say yes? And if you'll just jump, I promise you, you can experience the joy of this ride that is life. You can have peace if you'll just have the faith to believe. And so today, will you say yes to him? Isaiah 41:10, where we started, says, so do not fear. You're on the edge of the water. Don't fear. For I'm with you. God is with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I want you to know today that when life is uncertain, God is not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot be mocked and he cannot lie. And he promises you that he is there with you. So my question is, what is God calling you to say yes to today? Many of us, God is calling us to say yes in our marriage, to stay in our marriage. This time of isolation has kind of made us probably be at each other's throat. Maybe God's calling us to say yes, that we need to step out of that job because it's not the job he created us to be in. Maybe that's the yes he's called us to. Maybe the yes he's called us to is to continue to pray for the prodigal that is addicted, that you are praying would come home. He is telling you to keep fighting in faith and saying yes, whatever that next step is. But somebody today, the next step he's calling you to take is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, receive the free gift of salvation that he came to bring us, and be exactly who he created you to be. You know, when I think about that, I think of Paul's letter to the Roman church, and it says this in Romans 8, verse 34 through 39, and it talks about exactly this, and it says, who then is the one who condemns? Remember the baby who fell down? God is not trying to condemn you. Look, Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. He's in his hands. And he is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What that's saying is that when we have given our life to Christ, nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. He will always be there immediately to lift us up. And I want you to know today, maybe you've not come to God because you're worried about your past mistakes. And I want to tell you, in Christ Jesus, they are forgiven. And you're maybe worried about your future failures. And I want you to know that in Christ Jesus, you are forgiven. And so today, if God is calling you to say yes to Jesus being the Lord of your life, I want to help you because someone had to help me. It's not the words of this prayer that will save you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And we're going to pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. So I'm going to ask everyone to repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death that I deserve for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bowed, I'm going to say, if that's you right now, if you are for the first time saying that you have given your life to Christ and receive the free gift of salvation, I'm about to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If there's a hand that's raised, you click on that. Hey, you're going to see a link that says if you need to talk or have salvation, or hey, maybe you're listening by a podcast, wherever you are throughout the week, please don't let today pass by without letting someone know. You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate with you. So here we go. If that's you today, and you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask you to respond. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, leave your name in the comments right now. If that's you right now, I'm going to beg you to please respond. You've got a family here that wants to walk with you through this season, and you've got angels celebrating in heaven. You've got Jesus celebrating, saying he's so thankful that you jumped and you took that step of faith that he's calling you to take. And for everyone else today, no matter what, wherever group you fell into, I know that you can leave here better than how you walked in. And I'm going to ask you, as we get ready for this last song of worship, that you would just ask Jesus to remind you of the next step of faith he's calling you to take, and that you would just thank him that he is who he says he is. So let's get ready for this song from Vine Worship.
Here I empty myself.
What an incredible time we got to have together today. Hey, maybe right now we walk through all of this and you are struggling with that question. What is God calling you to say yes to today? Don't let today pass by without talking to someone about it. Please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. And we have a team of folks that would love, love, love to walk with you through that. And for the rest of us, guys, I can't wait for us to celebrate Mother's Day together next week. But before we do that, I would love to pray over us to go about the rest of our week and our day. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you that once again, we get to live in a time such as this, and we get to be a part of you building your church and bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Thank you right now, Jesus, that nothing can separate us from your hand, that nothing can, as long as we believe that you are who you say you are. So thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, and remind us throughout this week that you still have the whole world in your hands. Jesus, once again, we just lift up all of those affected by this virus, Lord, that are walking through this. We just pray that they would feel your comfort right now more than ever before. And Jesus, we pray that if it be your will, you bring us back here safely next week, and that we go out throughout this week, Jesus, that we would just proclaim the gospel, and that we would share the hope that only you can bring with everyone you place in our path. Give us the boldness to take the steps of faith that you've called us to take today. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome rest of your day. Remember that Jesus loves you, I love you, and the best is still yet to come.